Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the lifestyle coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. This is Lydia, the lifestyle coach, and our mission here is ending eating disorders. And it really comes down to one root issue. And when we talk about really ending these problems using nothing but your brain, we're talking about ending them all the way. So you're not managing your struggle with food. You don't have a struggle with food anymore. I want you guys to really understand the difference there of like, I don't have the struggle. Like you look around and you see, oh, this person is a normal eater. Being like them, like a normal eater. Where you can have stress happen in your life, when you can have hard things happen, you can have loss happen, you can get really busy or suddenly not be busy. Any sort of change can happen and you are still fine. And that is a really big deal thing. You're still okay because you don't have that connection anymore. Anything can happen around you and you don't go to food. Think of all of the people in the world that horrible, stressful, traumatic things happen, and not once does it occur to them to go and eat an entire container of peanut butter. That just makes no sense to that person. And that's exactly what our clients get to enjoy every day, is it doesn't make sense to them either. And it used to, nothing else made sense but to do that. Like they were running for the peanut butter. But now it's like, oh, okay, like I'm just going to deal with this thing going on. And this idea of like, oh, I need my eating disorder, or like the struggle with food, or that's the way that I take care of myself. That's exactly what we're going to talk about today, because it's ridiculous. It makes absolutely no sense to take care of yourself or to use food to cope. And intellectually, you may understand that, but you can't imagine like, wow, but that's exactly what I go to. But when that compulsion isn't there, when it literally doesn't even occur to you to go to food, when stress happens, that's a really, really big deal. That's called freedom. All of these wonderful gifts that keep on giving happen, right? It's just like you get your freedom, but then it just keeps on getting better and better. Because once you free yourself from one cage, then you can free yourself from any cage. And it's a really wonderful thing. So what we are going to talk about today is a really common pattern that we get into. And it is especially prevalent with women in our society. And it's being a giver and really having this identity of you give and you give and you give. And it feels good. Like it feels good to give. It feels good to make people happy. It feels good to be needed. It feels good to take care of people. And it becomes part of our identity. So we become the rock, right? It's like you're the rock. You're the rock of your family. You're the person that everybody comes to. You're the one that everyone can depend on, whether it's making a living for the family, taking care of their emotional needs, making meals, having the answers to things, being the counselor for your family, like the doing the emotional labor in the family. Like you are the one that everyone can depend on. Your kids know that they can always come to you and you're going to figure it out. People know they're going to come to you and you're going to get resourceful, that no matter what time of the day or night, like you are going to be there for them. And it really becomes deep-rooted as part of our identity. And there's this constant back and forth where that's continuing to be reinforced, because the more you do it, the more that people come to you. And then the more that people come to you, then it reinforces your identity. Mom can take care of it. Mom can make it better. We'll get through this. You're so strong. And people start seeing us and it feels good. Like people start seeing us as kind of this superhuman of like, wow, we can do anything. We can take care of it all. We can put on all of these hats. We can juggle everything that's going on, even when hard things are happening, right? And like with COVID and the pandemic right now, then all of this has really gone to even the next level, right? So instead of waking up in the morning and getting our kids ready to go to school, then we wake up in the morning and we have an entire day with everybody in our family here at the house. Maybe you're working from home. Maybe your kids are going back to school, maybe not. I know a lot of people have opted for online school options. So now you're a teacher as well. Like you're the mom and the superhero and the fixer and the earner and the teacher. And instead of prepping lunches and taking care of dinner, now it's like all throughout. Like the household wakes up and you're the one. It's probably up before anyone else because you need to do everything, right? And instead of just taking care of your own food needs, which were already a struggle because you're thinking about food all day long and you're planning it, it's not just for you, it's for your entire family. So now, mom, I want a snack. And now you're figuring out a snack. And now you're stocking your house with all of these foods that you wouldn't necessarily have in your household before, because maybe those are things that your kids would just have at lunch or out in other places. And now there's just like cupboards and cupboards full of yogurts and granola bars and snack treats and like gummy things and like all of the sorts of things in bulk because you guys are just snacking on them all day long. And you're trying to keep some semblance of, okay, well, we need to eat healthy, but then they also need snacks, and then I need to not eat those snacks, then what am I doing eating those snacks? And then people are sort of snacking out of boredom, so they're going back and back into the kitchen. And you're the one that is corralling it all, right? Like, you are not just in charge of your own brain around food, which is already a challenge, but now you've got all of these other people and patterns and food and meals and now school and now emotions. But you know what? You'll always make it happen. Like, you are the one that you know that everybody can depend on. And even though your job description as a woman or a mother or a partner or an employee has 10x'd in the last little while, you're still doing it. But this is what happens, is that we get up in the morning and there are our needs and there are other people's needs. And when those two things come up against each other, our needs always lose. I'm a giver. I'm a doer. I can get it done. If you need me, I'm there. Which means our needs are still there, but they're now always up against somebody else's needs. And they always get taken care of first. Okay, I'm hungry, you're hungry, I'll make you some food. I'm tired, you're tired, I'll put you down for a nap. I'm sad, you're sad, tell me how you're feeling. And so our needs keep on getting pushed off more and more and more. And other people's needs are taken care of, and our identity, again, is reinforced more and more, is we can make it happen, we're a doer. But we take care of everyone else, and then we get what's left over. And what's left over is a few minutes late at night once everyone else is in bed. And then what do we do? What do we do when everyone else is in bed and we have those few moments? Well, I'm hungry and I'm tired and I'm taking care of everyone else and I feel depleted and I feel deprived. Well, I deserve a snack. I deserve to go and have something. And so we go to the cupboard and we go back and back and back. And it's all driven by, like, I deserve this. And I put everyone else's needs before my own. And now that everyone else is in bed, nobody can see this. And this is my time. This is my time. And hi, Kim. So fun to see you on. She's saying such important info. It's a new day and women could easily feel even more overwhelmed. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Like, there is this incredible uptick of overwhelm with women in households. And I also want to put this here, like, I want to acknowledge and know that you are seen and loved, that because of the pandemic, a lot of times we had a dynamic where women were either working or they were at home with kids, and husbands in that dynamic, were out working. And now that more husbands are home, domestic violence has gone up a lot during the pandemic. And so I am so sorry, and it is not right, and it is not okay, and it is not fair. if you are dealing with that, where you're not only in the overwhelm of taking care of everyone, but actually trying to defend yourself either physically or emotionally from someone abusive that you are trapped with. And please, know that there is help and there is hope and there are great organizations and that you're not alone in that. I just wanted to acknowledge that. The level of overwhelm for some women is at an unbearable sort of point. And what happens is that we're taking care of so many other people that we put ourselves last. And so we go back and back and back to the food. And then we feel even worse. And so we had a really wonderful client. You'll see her freedom story on our channel. If you go to lydiavideo.com, we have our recovery stories and so many of our wonderful grads who have shared their stories and more to come. And it's just such a beautiful celebration. And it's really fun, you guys, just so you know, we have incredible celebrations. People are quarantined and they're at home and they're under all of the stress. And we're just having a really good time because it's even though things are stressful all around you, when you feel empowered, when you have no pull toward the food, when you can just deal with the stress in your life and not deal with the stress of an eating disorder on top of it, it's really fun. It just feels like everything is easier. So that's what we're getting to celebrate all the time. But before you have that, it's extremely taxing. So we have a grad, like I said, you can see her freedom story. She's the one who it's called Monkey Face because she's like a higher profile health coach and she needed to be anonymous for our interview, but she was extremely grateful that we helped her to be totally free from her eating disorder. And so and she's made so many amazing changes in her life since then, because again, once you get out of one cage, then you can get out of any other cage. And she has over the years. It's been really wonderful. But she is the one who gave such a beautiful identifier and voice to this phenomenon. If you put everyone else's needs before your own, and then at the end of the day, when you're eating and eating and eating and going back and back and back, she called it twisted self-care. I think she captured that so well because it is under that idea of self-care. I've got to do something for myself. I get whatever left over. It's not very much. And I have to make up for it. I have to do something to make myself feel better. And what's easy to grab for? Peanut butter, crackers, toast, grapes, yogurt, 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 almonds, 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 granola, 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 granola. And just hours eating into the night until I just feel so, so awful. And it's this form of twisted self-care of the thing that I am doing for myself. The way that I take care of myself, when I take care of myself very last after everyone else's needs, is to hurt myself. That's my self-care. I'm hurting myself. I'm hurting my dignity and my integrity because I told myself I wouldn't eat this. I told myself that I cared about my habits. I told myself that I would be healthy. I'm hurting my integrity because now I'm doing the exact opposite. I'm hurting my self-esteem and my respect for myself because I'm somebody who has this image of I can do anything and I have so much control and I can take care of everyone, but I can't take care of myself. I don't have a decision over the things that I eat. We hurt ourselves physically, especially those of us who are in a bulimic cycle where it's like we'll binge and then purge. We could literally commit suicide, killing ourselves with food, because any time that you purge, there are three different ways that your heart can instantly stop. And your family finds you dead on the bathroom floor. That's that twisted self-care. I'm taking care of myself by, well, I shouldn't have eaten all that. I better get rid of it. And you can stop your heart, instant death. That is the level of twistedness of the self-care that is happening. And we're hurting ourselves physically with our health, right? It's like, wow, mom, you take care of everyone else. You make such healthy meals. You make such healthy dinners. Why are you bigger all the time? Why are you 10 pounds heavier than you were last month? Why are you 20 pounds heavier than you were 2 months ago? Why are you 50 pounds heavier than, when I was a little kid? So there's all these question marks that go up. And then even in the very identity of mother, caretaker, then we're hurting ourselves in that identity because we don't want to pass that on to our kids. And that's the very thing that we're doing. Because even if they don't wake up in the night and see us binge, by the way, kids often know exactly what's going on. We think that we're hiding this from our kids, and we're not. We find that husbands know a lot less than we imagine, and kids know a lot more than we imagine about our eating disorders. So, yeah, it's like I coach so many people are like, oh, yeah, my mom thought that we never knew that she was bulimic, but we could hear her throwing up in the bathroom. My mom thought that we never knew that she was a binge eater, but we saw her binge. We saw the garbage in the outside garbage can in the garage that she thought that none of us could see. Oh, yeah, my mom thought that none of us knew that she struggled with food, but she was heavier and heavier all the time. And then she was managing diabetes. It's like, we're not dumb. Like, we know what was happening with our mom. And now, what's the hardest thing is I'm on the same track as my mom. Like, this is what we hear all the time. I know my mom struggled with food. I don't want to be like my mom. I don't want to be in my 60s or my 80s still obsessing about food and body. That was the thing that I hated most. I swore I would never be like my mother that way. And here I am, exactly like my mother. Here I am with the exact same struggles. That's what we hear all the time. So that twisted self-care gets passed on generation to generation. And we're perpetuating that. So we're hurting ourselves in all these different ways. This self-care becomes hurting yourself, which of course is not okay. And here's one of the hardest things about it, is there is only so long that you can put off taking care of yourself. Nobody gets out of this world alive without at some point either having this kill them or turning something around. And it's heartbreaking, but this is what we see all the time. I have put everyone else's needs before my own for 60 years. And now it's all catching up to me. Now, because of all this extra weight that I've put on myself, I have so much pain in my knees that I can't play with my grandkids. The very thing that I was putting everyone else's needs before my own so that I could do was enjoy my retirement and enjoy my grandkids. Now I can't because of how I've treated myself with food all this time. Or this is something we see all the time. I have been so independent. I have given to everyone else. And now I'm facing having a conversation with my kids of do they hire someone to take care of me now that I need help going to the bathroom and taking a shower, now that I have diabetes, now that I'm losing my eyesight. Do I put my kids out $40,000 a year for them? I'm wanting them. I'm giving so much to them. I want them to start their families. They have families to take care of, but now I'm a huge financial burden on my family because they either have to hire someone or they need to put me in a home. That inside, I have all of this vibrancy and all of this like desire to be with my grandkids and to be active, but outside, my body is not cooperating because of this twisted self-care that has happened for 60 years. This is the end of the story, you guys. You put everyone else's needs before your own for 60 years. And then you become what you're most afraid of is being a burden on everyone else, where you can't give anything. You can't get up. You don't have energy. You don't have your health. You are a money pit of medical bills. And you look at your life and you're terrified about that. But now you're seeing that all of the giving that you did your whole life just resulted in other people being forced to give to you in such a strenuous way that it ends up being in resentment. This is another heartbreaking thing that we see in families. Mom, why didn't you take care of yourself? Mom, why didn't you ever do what made you happy? Mom, why didn't you keep yourself healthy? Mom, it's not okay that you used me as an excuse to not take care of yourself. Mom, do you think I wouldn't have rather had you take care of yourself and get a solution to this problem rather than us having to take care of you bedridden for the rest of your life? Mom, wouldn't, it's not okay with me. Mom, it's not all right that now my grandkids don't get to play with you. My kids don't get to play with you. Your grandkids. Because you didn't take care of yourself. All of the things that we tell ourselves is, well, I need to take care of them first. I need to put their needs before my own. Well, I'll take care of me after I take care of them. It doesn't result in Praise and thanks so much. Thanks so much, Mom, for burning yourself out, for giving yourself diabetes. I would much rather you be sick. You spend the last 30 years of your life in pain, because at least I got my sandwiches made on time. At least I knew that you would never say no. Said no child ever. Everyone that loves you wants you to take care of yourself. This is a huge mistake that we make. Love is not killing ourselves to help the people that we love. Love is taking care of ourselves because that's what we deserve. We deserve help just as much as the people around us deserve help. That twisted self-care at the end of the day is not self-care. It's a punishment. It's pain. It's suffering. So here's the solution. Here's what has to happen right now today is you make a decision. You draw that line in the sand and you say, it is never a better time than right now, and this is only going to get harder to take care of me. And you start saying no to people and you start showing. Let's look at this dynamic. What if we showed our daughters how much they are worth by showing them that we have worth? What if instead of, I will sacrifice so that I can give to you, it's, I'm going to show you that it's worth sacrificing to give to yourself. What if we said, oh, I'm just going to prop my children up and make sure that they had a better life than I did? What if we turned into, I'm going to show my children by example what it's like to give yourself a great life? And the biggest issue here is that you've got to be able to take care of yourself and put yourself first. We've seen so many women saying, wow, I wish I would have fixed this issue with food 40 years ago. But I didn't feel like I was deserving of taking care of myself until I was facing this killing me, until I was facing health risks. Oh, and now that I'm in $100,000 of medical debt, then I can't even afford what I need to fix this problem. I wish I would have decided on this 40 years ago, but the fact is that you didn't. All you have is today. You can't do anything about the past, but you can do something about the future. And today will just become the same pattern unless you choose to make it different. And we don't always know how to do that, but you do know how to make the choice. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do, is we know exactly how to get you free from this. So you don't have an eating disorder anymore. So you're not performing this twisted self-care, so that you know how to put yourself first and then have the energy to take care of everyone else. It doesn't mean you don't take care of other people. Yes, of course you do. But you do it with joy and energy and enthusiasm. And from a place of want to, because you have your health, because you can move around without pain, because you're able to be present with people instead of thinking about food all day long. Like, this is the joy of what gets to happen when you're free. And so, one of the most beautiful acts of self-care is when we have women show up on our calendar that say, you know what? I couldn't find an hour for myself for this last year, and I finally said, enough is enough. I deserve an hour of my time, especially if it can help me to be free from this problem of food for the rest of my life. Why have I put it off so long? Don't put it off any longer. You deserve this time. And there will always be an excuse in your mind. Oh, well, my kids need me. They're going back to school right now. Oh, well, you know, this isn't a good week because we have family in town. Oh, well, you know, it's like, it's not a good time because it's like we're having some stress right now in our family. Oh, well, that's never going away. It's never going away. You are always going to have people to take care of. You are always going to have things that are inconvenient. But there will be a time where your indecision turns into decision. And you don't have a decision to be able to walk again, or you don't have a decision to get your voice back, or you don't have a decision to get your ability to see back, or you don't have a decision to reverse the things that are ailing you right now. You got a knee replacement. You're not going back and getting your original knees. Like, you've got to end this right now because decisions will keep on being made for you. irreversible damage will keep on happening. So that's why it's got to be now. So you draw that line in the sand. And this is what that self-care looks like. I am going to get the help that I need. I'm going to set aside this hour. I am going to guard that hour. And no matter what somebody else needs, sure, there are like emergencies, but an emergency isn't, hey, mom, will you drive me here last minute because I want to go and meet up with my friend? No, pretend like I'm not here. Do you know how many sessions that we do from cars at parks? It's like, mom is leaving. Mom is out running errands. And then we do the whole session from the car. Like, cool. Do what you need to. Lock yourself in the closet or the bathroom or go out for a drive. Like, find the privacy. Guard that time. Because what is the consequence if you don't? So this is what that looks like. We have a free and confidential service called a breakthrough session, which you will be with a coach who will walk one by one with you. This session is all about you. This gets to be your time. This gets to be true self-care, where you can actually take a breather and a moment and look at your own life and have the support of somebody who gets it and knows how to get you to the other side of it and who knows freedom and who gets to interact with hundreds and hundreds of women all over the world and men. They get to enjoy that freedom now. And you get to have that hour on the breakthrough session where we are going to get you the foundation of freedom, where we're going to look at exactly what's happening with this pattern of this twisted self-care, and then what you really want on the other side of it. And if we can help you to close that gap and show you how to be free from this, then you will be super clear on next steps of how to solve that. Or if this is not something we can help you with, then we'll know where to best direct you. But you've got somebody in your court, you've got somebody in your corner, you've got somebody who knows and understands, and you deserve that. That's what it comes down to. And it sends an even stronger message to your brain. If you're especially busy, or you're especially overwhelmed, or if you're especially stressed, here is a complete falsehood. This is the pure eating disorder talking right here. Is if you have something, a voice in your mind that says, oh, you're struggling too much right now to get help. Oh, you're too overwhelmed right now to get help. Oh, you're too much in a deep, dark hole right now to get help. What better time is there to get help than when you're in your deepest, darkest place? What, you're going to wait until the problem goes away to fix the problem? Well, then you won't have a problem anymore, and that's not going to happen. This has been going on for decades. It's not going to magically fix itself. But there is a way out of this, and we know exactly how to do that. But you must set aside that sacred time for yourself. And you deserve it just for you. Yes, and your kids deserve to have you. Yes, and your partner deserves to have you. Yes, and your family deserves to have you. Yes, and your employer deserves to have you there and present and not miserable all the time. Yes, all of that is true. But even if none of those people were in your life, you still deserve this. You as a human being whose days are running out. You only get so many days alive. And you're either going to spend them putting off what you need and spending another day in misery, or you're going to spend them with transformation and freedom and joy and actually being able to enjoy all of the things that you should be enjoying. I remember, man, like having so much good right in front of me. I remember seeing my amazing daughter and my relationship and my career and feeling like it was all going on without me. I remember sitting around with family and feeling like there was just this wall up between me and everyone else because they were present and they were laughing and they were enjoying and they were looking at what the kids were doing and how the cousins were playing together. And all I could do was think about, they're not thinking about the cookies that I know are right over there on the table that we just frosted a little while ago. Like, nobody's remembering those. I wonder when we're going to eat those. I probably shouldn't eat any of those. I won't eat any of those. Well, maybe I should have one. Well, they can't be having them and I can't have, and just like, on and on and on. I missed it. I don't know what was going on with the kids. I don't know what was going on in the conversation. I was the one who was there and had a fake smile and was sitting there trying to seem like I was existing where I wasn't there. I was somewhere else. I was obsessing about food because I was missing out on my life because food was more important than anything else. And yes, I felt bad about that. And yes, I knew there was something wrong with that. And yes, that was out of integrity, but I didn't know how to fix it at the time. And I don't have an eating disorder anymore. No matter how, I remember having one of the deepest, darkest, most awful nights of my life up until that point. And I remember after just an entire, like all night of just absolute hell, being like, oh wow, I didn't once think about eating. I didn't once consider that as an option or an answer. So yeah, life is still hard. Life is still stressful. Life is still overwhelming, but you get to handle it like everyone else does by just handling it and not having to do it with all your spoons gone, with all of this mental and physical energy going toward your eating disorder. And that is the joy. That is the joy of true self-care. For your life, for your true self-care, for taking care of yourself while you still have that option. The next step is you go to
LydiaLifestyle.com/session. That's LydiaLifestyle.com/session.
And you can book a free breakthrough session where we are going to help you to get the foundation of freedom, because you can be out of this and you can start enjoying yourself and you can start enjoying everyone around you and you can start really living. And you were there all along. You were just hidden under all of this muck of the mental and physical turmoil that comes from this. And we've always seen families, children, partners, like everyone is so happy to finally have you back. We get thank you letters from like partners of like, wow, I finally have my wife back. Like, wow, she's so happy. I had no idea. I had no idea how miserable that she was. And people get to see you in your true happiness, and you get to see you in your true happiness. And that is the beauty. So again, this is Lydia, the lifestyle coach, signing off. Mwah. Bye, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to LydiaLifestyle.com/session. That's LydiaLifestyle.com/session. Where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on three things. One, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. Two, what isn't working with your approach. And three, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off.